Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So far as from text. Have you seated? In Christ Jesus, in whom alone we boast and glory, dear fellow redeemed. On Thursday morning, after our Bible class at the Heritage Home, Dwayne, who's been coming to their classes, and I visited with one of the residences there who has been coming quite faithfully. And during our conversation, he asked me, so how did you get to Middleton? So I briefly told him what we teach concerning calls and how I got the call here and so forth. Then I mentioned to him that after my wife and I left Millston out of my first church home and went to Saginaw, we were kind of surprised that there were so many members there that reminded us of the members back in Millston. Different faces, different names, different shapes and sizes, but the same characteristics, the same emotions, the same mannerisms, the same personalities. And we quickly learned that people really are quite alike. And so when I got your call, now almost 12 years ago, I didn't know many of you, and yet I knew you. So what did I know about you before I really knew you? Well, I guess I knew about you the same as what the apostle knew about the Corinthian Christians. I knew that about you back in 2002, and I know it today. Our theme this morning is a question. What kind of people make up a Christian congregation? Well, let's let Paul answer that question for us. And his first answer is found in the very first verse of our text. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul is asking these Corinthian Christians to consider the situation they found themselves in when they were called to be members of God's family. What were they like? Why were they called members of the family? Was it something within themselves? Was it because of their prominent position of influence in the world? Was it because of their power? Their wealth? Their noble character? Their royal birth? Well, these same questions we need to ask ourselves. Why were you called into the family of God? What was your situation when you were called into the Holy Christian Church or called to this family? Peace through Christ. Was it because of our amazing intelligence? Was it because of our influence in the Madison area? Was it because of our noble birth? What do you think? Well, Paul takes a realistic look at the members of that Christian congregation, and then he invites them to look at and to see the amazing, unique wisdom and working of God for man's salvation. their standing as believers in God's family was not because of anything that they had done, not because of any innate qualities in them at all. For among the Christians in Corinth, they were ordinary people. Many were not very prominent. Many were not very influential. Many were not very wealthy. In fact, we believe that there were quite a few slaves, like Philemon, who worshipped in that church in Corinth. For as you know, God doesn't care about worldly wealth, influence, and power and might. God looks at the heart. And so we ask again, what kind of people make up a Christian congregation? Paul's first answer is this: not the worldly wise, not the influential, not the mighty. Oh, yes, there may be some here in our congregation who are far more intelligent than others, but I dare say there are probably not many in our congregation who would be classified as geniuses, according to the world standard. And there are some of you who have some influence in your area of work, maybe even bosses, managers, directors, or professors. But not many of us have been born nobly to have any power in this world. We're simple, ordinary people. And we see that over and over and over again in Christian congregations. What kind of people has the foolishness of the gospel worked in their hearts and won for Jesus? Not many from the ranks of the highly educated. Not many from the group of those who wield worldly power. Not many that are of noble birth. But usually the common people. The ordinary. Or as Paul says in his second answer to the question, the foolish, the weak, and the lowly. Maybe verses 27 to 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. While human reason chooses and selects people of prominence and influence in order to gain certain positions of their own, God doesn't work by worldly criterion. He doesn't work by human standards when dealing with people. God is no respecter of persons, as you know. Whether you be pauper or king, rich or poor, whether you are world famous or completely unknown, God's ways are not our ways. And so what man's wisdom calls foolish and weak and lowly and despised, God is able to use to His glory for the salvation of many souls. In order to better understand this section of the Apostle Paul, we need to read a few verses just prior to our sermon text. It's a little lengthy, so listen carefully. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And that's the same that's true for the messengers of that gospel message. Christians have been labeled by the unbelieving world as being simpletons, naive, narrow-minded bigots, deficient in common sense, lacking in influence and real power. Yet God has used this little flock of believers all over the world to accomplish His amazing wonders. And God's purpose in all this is so that no one will be able to boast and say that it was his or her own wisdom or power or might or reason or strength or race or nationality or influence or noble birth that led us to Christ and to become part of His family. It was always and is always the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came to live a perfect life for us, suffer on the cross, die again, and rise from the dead again, and to that powerful gospel that we have faith created in our hearts. God called us when we were dead in our sins, when we had absolutely no redeeming qualities of our own. It's all by God's grace. Therefore, Paul lays upon us the third answer to this question. What kind of people make up a Christian congregation? Those who boast in Christ Jesus. God's ultimate purpose is to lead the Christians in Corinth and us to see our sinfulness. To see that there's nothing in them and us by nature that makes us worthy to be called children of God. When God looks at us, apart from Christ, the Bible says, we are like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Literally, blood-soaked rags that stink to high heaven. That's why Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "For by grace, undeserved love, you've been saved. Through faith, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Boast in ourselves? No way. Boast in God? You bet. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." And so now Paul gives us the fourth answer to our question. What kind of people make up a Christian congregation? The fourth answer, those who believe that in Christ they have righteousness, holiness, sanctification, and redemption. Having impressed upon these Corinthian Christians their own unworthiness, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, now directs their attention to what He did for them, what He did for their salvation. God's aim and purpose is to fill their hearts and our hearts with joy and confidence in His grace in Christ Jesus. Paul writes, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, who became for us righteousness and sanctification and redemption." God the Holy Spirit made us children of the Heavenly Father through faith, and keeps us in that faith as His children in His family through the same means, the powerful means of God's Word. Christ and His Word is our wisdom. His Word solves our sin problem. Man's wisdom sure can't. God's wisdom solves our problems with our relationships, in our marriage, with our children, with our parents, with fellow workers, with friends, even our enemies. Man's wisdom can't solve that. God's wisdom leads us to become wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Man's wisdom leads to utter darkness, the gnashing of teeth in hell. This wisdom of Christ in His Word teaches us that God the Son came into this world to become one of us, to live a life of perfection, to give His life as a sacrifice upon the cross, and to give us His righteousness. Our righteousness is Christ's righteousness alone through faith. And so we believe that we stand before God with all our spots and stains washed away, but not just then stand empty, but stand filled with Christ's righteousness. For Jesus is our righteousness. But Paul says He's also our sanctification. When we are brought to believe in Jesus Christ, Christ fills our hearts, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for Christ, to serve Him, rather than serving ourselves. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sanctification. And finally, Paul says, Christ is our redemption. And here the word is used in the full sense of the term, not just being bought back from sin, but our final deliverance from sin, death, Satan, and hell on Judgment Day. He is the one who will come to deliver us all from damnation. And so Paul concludes this section with the question of what kind of people make up a Christian congregation. He says, so that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The point that Paul's making to the Corinthian Christians and us is, it's not wrong to boast. If you desire to boast, go ahead and boast. But boast in the Lord. Cease all boasting of yourself and of any pride that you have, of what you've accomplished, or what we can do and produce, but rather with thankful and joyful hearts, let us sing our praises to Him who called us out of the darkness of sin and death and Satan and damnation into His marvelous light. Let us pray. O Lord, but all my deeds I am reviewing, the deeds that I admire most, I find in all my thought and doing that there is nothing of which to boast. Yet this sweet comfort shall abide, in mercy I can still confide. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation, His the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt, none shall ever be confounded who on Him their hope have built. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.